Welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm Trista Polo from iwokeupawesome.com, and I am your host. Each week, we learn the story behind that vanity plate. The one you saw driving down the road? What did it say? What did it mean? Why did they choose it? This week, we meet Kitsy Duncan, creator and star of Oddity Files. Her license plate is named after her show and her podcast of the same name. Kitsy and her crew are paranormal investigators. They have three seasons of their show, Oddity Files, on Amazon Prime, and you can access their podcast on all podcast apps. We talk spirits, demons, paranormal investigation tools, and more. Fans and skeptics, stay tuned till the end, because Kitsy shares about one ghost she communicated with that gave a name they later corroborated with historical data. My favorite part of the show is the story about the balloon. All right, let's have some fun and spend some quality time with Kitsy. Hey there, welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm very excited about today's episode because I have Kitsy Duncan of Oddity Files on Amazon Prime. She has a license plate for Oddity Files as well. Welcome, Kitsy. There it is.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited about this. I got the vanity plate when we started our show on Amazon Prime, and we ended up having a podcast called The Same Thing because I had the vanity plate and I didn't want to get a new one. So.
Well, we're going to talk all about your show and your podcast today. But because it is the license plate, I'd love to know why you chose the name Oddity Files.
I have never told this story before. I decided I had all this great footage of like my really early years, and I wanted to put episodes up on YouTube, and I needed a name to do that. So my day job is we go to Comic Cons and we take photos of celebrities with their fans. We print the picture. It's ready in 45 seconds. Well, we were on our way to Philadelphia or somewhere East Coast. Too many cons, too many places. And we had some friends that were working with us that weekend in the car, and I talked to them about it. And I originally chose the name Paranormal Ambush. It was available for a URL. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Thank God I didn't choose that, because my style of investigating the paranormal has changed since then.
Not at all ambushy.
Not at all. So we were talking, you know, X-Files, things like that. And I'm kind of an odd bird as it is. So the name Oddity Files came into play from there.
It's perfect now that I know the background. It's perfect. It marries the two things.
Yeah.
That's really great. Thanks for sharing that story, exclusive on Plate Story Podcast.
Absolutely. For now, until I remember it again.
That's right. You heard it here first. That's awesome. Now, I have to know, so Oddity Files, let's just give a little bit of background for people who haven't seen it. Tell us basically what the show is and, you know, what you do on it, so we can have some good clarity about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Oddity Files has three seasons on Amazon Prime right now. It is one of those ghost hunter type shows that everybody is all about right now. I call it a paranormal investigative docuseries because it's all real. It's raw. It's gritty. When I get scared, I drop the F-bomb all the time. It's a labor of love for me. Like I said, it's not my day job. I'm not making much money off it at all, but it's something I love and I adore. And I figured out that you can submit your content like this to Amazon Prime, and if they approve it, that they'll go ahead and put it up for you. So here we are, three seasons in. It's myself, my son Carter, and friend of the family Clayton, and we go to notoriously haunted locations and just find out the stories that the spirits that are left behind have to tell.
Yes, I've actually been watching season three since we had our pre-call, and I was never going to watch it because I'm a scaredy cat. I don't like scary things. I don't watch horror movies. I don't like ghosts.
I respect that.
But you told me that it is not a scary show.
No.
So I was still deciding if I was going to watch it or not, and then I had a dream about you. Basically, in the dream, you were there with me. I was living in this kind of commune house, but it was this huge building. It had zillions of different little nooks and crannies and basements and attics and all kinds of fun stuff. And we were in the room I sleep in, and there was like a cupboard you know, like next to the bed. And you said, oh, you never leave those closed. Like you gave me some very sage advice. So you open it up and then something like zooms up these steps that were behind the cupboard. And you just got so excited and giddy and you ran up the stairs to see what it was. And you came back down.
Like, hey, talk to me.
Yeah, exactly. You came back down and you would never tell me what it was. But the thing about the dream that I wanted to share is because in the dream, I always felt safe. It never felt like a creepy, crawly, haunted housey kind of a dream.
Covered in goosebumps right now, by the way.
Okay, cool. And I knew I was safe because you were there and you knew what you were doing and you understood the spirits and you were kind of like, I won't say protector, but like my guide in the whole process of going through the house. Okay. And so because of that, after that dream, I said, okay, I now feel safe enough to watch the show. And I really enjoyed it.
Yay. Thank you. Yeah. And that's kind of our goal as investigators is to kind of show people that it's not scary, that these were people at one point, they have personalities just like we do. And my heart of hearts, my theory is they just want to be heard. Just like a person who's alive and breathing and all that. They just want to be heard. They want to tell their story. I feel that the spirits are in the same boat.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time agreeing with you about that. Okay. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. Not so that we can have some, you know, diehard conversation and get into an argument, but you know, you hear about and you know about evil and darkness and low energy kind of stuff. I've definitely had experiences where I've had like negative energy kind of stuff stuck on me, where I've had to have a person help me out with that. Cause I wouldn't say I'm a medium in any way, but I definitely
You're sensitive.
I'm sensitive. Absolutely. And so I definitely know it's not all good, positive light out there.
Oh, absolutely not.
And now that I've seen a season of your show, you're walking into places with pretty nasty reputations or reputations of having nasty spirits there. So I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on that, to educate me, win me over that it's really all very benign, nothing to worry about.
Well, I mean, just like I just said, if somebody's personality in life is love, light, peace, and positivity, I feel, and there's no proof, there's no rule book on this. I say that all the time. God, I wish there was, you know, the handbook for the recently deceased, but there's not.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice reference in case you're not tracking. I feel that spirits keep their personality that they had in life. And if you're like me, I sometimes am a magnet for those low energy people. I feel because it's a low vibration people. I feel because it's, I try to keep my vibration and my energy so positive and light.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it attracts people that are the opposite sometimes. Through my life and my years, I figured out how to find the signs of that a lot quicker than I used to. And I don't feel like I have to fix everybody that's broken anymore, but everybody's been through that in their life. And I feel that some of these spirits are the same. I mean, if you're an asshole in life, you're going to be an asshole in death. That is my motto. That is what I've stuck to my entire time. And spirits, even the good ones, may come across as scary. I mean, if you're scared of that, they're all going to come across scary unless you get to know them like I do. And that's my thing. I used to be a people person till people were generally disappointing in general. But these spirits, I treat them like I used to treat people when I wanted to get to know more people. And my point I was getting to, even if a spirit is of, you know, high vibrations, love, light, peace, and positivity, they still may not know how to communicate with our side of things. Let's say they're just trying to figure out how to communicate. Maybe this is the time they want to reach out and they're trying so hard to communicate and it sounds like a scream on that little recorder. Sometimes it's a scratch. Maybe it was a spirit just trying to touch you and reach out to you.
Yeah.
And they left marks behind. Now, I've never been scratched, but some of my crew has. So
really?
I don't know. Yeah.
So they can interact with you physically then?
Yes. And they do. I feel touches all the time. It's never been anything scary or, I mean, yeah, you're in a dark attic in some farmhouse in Kentucky.
I mean, your lights are off. How are you not scared out of your wits? I'm watching you guys now. I'm home safe in my bed. So I'm not scared because you're not presenting it as a scary, evil, creepy thing. Then there's no music that makes it scary. Definitely, I think you could do a lot to make it scary if you wanted to in the editing room, right? And you don't. Yeah. And thank you for that. But I just, you mentioned a couple times in the episodes, like there's no lights on in here because you're going to talk about how there was a light on the wall or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, you're in a basement of a sanitarium in the dark. Like, how are you not scared?
I think it's an adrenaline rush for me. You know, some people like to jump out of airplanes. I'm scared of heights. So I go in a basement that's dark, which is supposedly haunted, and see what I can find out. So it's an adrenaline rush. That's really awesome.
So you didn't start out as a paranormal investigator. Can you share your journey, how you got here?
Absolutely. So as a child, I was terrified of all the paranormal, all the scary, all the creepy. I believed my mother when she said it was just my imagination, which maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I'm coming to find out that imagination is sometimes more, and it's people talking to you in your head. You know what I'm saying? But I grew up in that one house, every neighborhood has it, that all the kids said was haunted. I didn't know it until I was in my teens. My friend says, now, you know, before you guys lived there, I used to see a creepy face in that window right there pointing to my bedroom. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. I have to sleep here. I'm just whatever. So
it's just your imagination.
Exactly. And I never watched horror movies and things like that until I was like in my 30s. Never let my kids watch them. I did see Poltergeist as a very young child and it scarred me. It totally scarred me.
Yeah.
Come to find out it was in a good way. I don't know. Because I want that stuff to happen now. Anywho, back to my story. So my father passed away at a very young age. He was 52 and had a massive heart attack. There were no goodbyes. There was no prepping for it to happen. And it hurt. It hurt for a very long time. And I started to feel like he was here, like he was watching over me. I don't know if it was more, you know, again, my imagination or something I wanted so bad. So I started watching these paranormal shows because I wanted to know that he was okay and that he was watching out for me. And I'm watching these shows and they weren't nearly as scary as I thought they were because they just yelled at the ghosts.
Yeah.
So I met randomly a paranormal group that's in Indiana where I am. And they said, hey, why don't you come on this investigation with us? I was terrified, not going to lie, because I had seen this specific location on a Ghost Adventures and it was all the scary all the time because it was Ghost Adventures. God loves Zach Bagans. He's entertaining. But we're there, we're getting some activity, and then one of the guys stands at the bottom of the staircase and yells out, come at me, bro! And I'm like, really? Yeah. So I'm like, okay. I had kind of acquired some equipment on my own. I had some video cameras that filmed in the dark, which are the coolest things ever. And I just went out and did it on my own and learned from doing, which is the best way for me personally to learn, because sometimes math and letters are hard.
Yes. So you're self-taught then. That's kind of what I was gathering from the show as well. And it appears to me like it's all a discovery for you. Some of it you've seen before, but every time you actually get a result, you're like, oh my God, did you hear that? Oh my God, did you hear that? And I'm like, you've done 3 seasons. Why are you surprised? But like, you're still enjoying it just like the first time. Yeah. I love that.
And every location, I go in expecting nothing to happen. I really do. Since it's just been the three of us, it's only happened once. Somehow the spirits erased one of our camera's footage before we left. So it never even ended up to be an episode anyway.
Wow.
But yeah, you don't know what you're going to get going to these locations. And I'm looking for the untold stories. Mm. I'm not looking for what everybody else has had happen at these locations. We don't investigate people's houses. I'm afraid I'm going to amp up activity for them. We go to notoriously haunted locations. We pay whatever fee it is they're charging to investigate for the night. And we get X amount of hours that night and we're out of there. We don't have a week like some of these big cable shows have at each location. Wow. And we're so fortunate we get enough evidence during that time to make an episode out of it.
You wear a lot of hats for this show. I mean, you're the creator, the writer, the investigator, the researcher, it sounds like. You're the editor, too.
Yeah.
The promoter.
Yeah, all of the stuff and all the things.
All the things.
Yeah.
That's a lot to take on.
It is. And it's stressful at times. Like after I was done editing season 3, took a while for it to get on Amazon because there were some issues on my end. I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I'm not doing this again. Took 6 months off and I'm like, okay, let's go.
If you're in a short period of time and it's a big, huge building, how do you make your choices about where you're going to focus most?
I kind of do a walkthrough on my own. I'm a sensitive myself. I'm an empath. I get vibes. It's my crazy. I call my sensitivity my crazy. And I walk through the place and I'm like, okay, I've got some weird vibes going on here. Let's find out why this one feels weird. Or we'll ask the person who runs the location, where are your hot spots in here? So the places that are notoriously known for activity, and sometimes we'll hit those quote unquote hot spots and nothing happens in them, but we'll go to a room where nothing ever happens and we'll get some of the most beautiful evidence that we've ever gotten. So honestly, it's just, hey, let's do this. If this doesn't work, we're going to go to this one. If this one doesn't work, we're going to go to this one. Or Clayton's like, oh, I want to go lay on the body slab in the morgue. And I'm like, have at it. It's all you.
I saw that. I was like, what are you thinking? Like, why would you do that voluntarily? That was in the sanitarium episode?
Yes, Waverly Hills. Yes.
I want to talk a little bit more detail about that one, actually, but we'll get to that. So it sounds like it's a combination of research, your gut, and flexibility that has you choose the actual spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well said.
So you talk about going into different rooms, getting things, sometimes not getting things. Now you're using your senses, right? Like you'll say, I saw something, I smelled something, I felt something, I heard something, but you're also using a lot of equipment. Can you share what equipment you're using and what it does? Because there's a lot of stuff you guys pull out.
There is. So we use standard ghost hunting equipment rarely anymore because I know what pieces to use to get the evidence that I think we're going to get at a location. But we have the gamut. We have everything from a K2 meter, which is a little gray box that lights up if there's an electromagnetic field there, which sources say that that's spirit activity. We have dowsing rods, which is so old school, like from the pioneer days. It's just two metal rods that you hold in your hand and you can actually feel the pull on them when the spirits are moving them. It's mind blowing. So we go from, you know, high tech K2 meters. We have a Kinect, which remember the old Xbox Kinect? From,
yes.
I think it was Paranormal Activity 2, where the lights light up the room in IR. And we've gotten spirits tracked in on that. Like I'm standing in the middle of the room and you can see my skeleton figure through this Microsoft magic that there is. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just pops another stick figure standing next to me. And you know, there's no proof, like I said, that it's actually physically a ghost, but there's nothing next to me that would remotely even give the shape of what could be a human being. Now, we've sometimes used it. First time I got it, I was all over my house with it, kind of checking it out, seeing how it worked. And like, I have this coat rack that it thought was a human. Well, of course, it's about the size of a human and it's got the shape. One time a lamp it thought was a stick figure as well. But that's some of our newest equipment that is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And my go-to is a spirit box. And if you don't know what a spirit box is it's a little handheld AM/FM radio that's been rigged to scan through the channels quickly. Like when the old cars where you'd like move the dial back and forth and it'd scan through the channels, it just does that automatically. And you can set how fast or how slow you want it to go. We always set ours fast because if it does pick up on a radio station, you hear that blip of a voice. It's not a word. It's not a, it might not even be a full syllable, but you hear a human voice. And what the spirits are said to do with that is take that white noise, those voices that are coming through in the white noise, and manipulate it and be able to speak to us and answer our questions and sometimes even ask us questions, which is amazing. And that is my go-to. That is what works for me. And each investigator is different. Sometimes, you know, they have a handheld recorder in their hands and they get voices that nobody said in the room. That rarely works for me. Every once in a while, I'll get it on accident. And sometimes something, it's like, well, it sounds like, one point this in season three, we were in Salt Lake City and it sounded like a pig snorting. So I don't know if that's an EVP. I don't know what it is, but the spirit box is my jam. I've met several spirits via this wonderful piece of equipment, and I hook it up to this really neat box that adds some eerie echo to it. And it's got these creepy lights and it's beautiful and it makes great TV, but that's how I get my evidence. I don't know why that works for me, but I know it does work for me.
It does seem to. And then you use a little flashlight too, where you'll turn it a little bit on. Can you explain how that works? Cause I don't really get it from watching it on the episode.
Yeah. So it's called a flashlight session. And I learned this trick from the old school ghost hunters. Amy Bruni used to use it all the time. And every time it would light up to a question, I'd get goosebumps. I'm like, well, I've got to try this. So it's a mag light flashlight. And the top is what you screw on and off to make the connection to turn it on and turn it off. But we set it to where it's barely on, like it's just faintly on, and then you set it down and you tap it a couple times so it's off, so the connection is not made. Now people try to debunk this and say, well, as the coil in it heats up, it'll light up, which is true, because sometimes it'll just go off randomly and I'm just like, okay, we're not doing this. But sometimes when we get direct responses to questions and we say, turn it on all the way, fully from nothing to all the way lit up, and it does it, it tells me that there's some kind of activity. I don't know if they're tapping it or if they're putting energy into it or how it works. I always tell them, just give it a tap, just give it a tap so we can see that you're here, you know? And I don't know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Clayton is the one that has all the luck with the flashlight sessions, and he's pretty darn good at it.
He is. And you know, what I do like about the show is that you guys are not trying to say, oh, that was something, I think that proves it. You're like, that was something, but I think it was the tarp. Like, you're actually trying to disprove to make sure it's not. You're not trying to prove anything. You're just trying to observe what's going on. And that makes me believe what you see more, because I know you're not trying to make a story out of it.
In my silly little voiceovers, I'm like, okay, so this balloon moved, but there are no windows in this location. However, we didn't feel any breeze. And why is it only moving when we're asking it to move? That kind of situation. But again, it doesn't mean that there's proof of ghosts.
I want to talk about that balloon though. So set us up, because for people who haven't seen it, so this was the sanitarium episode, right?
Yes.
Was it season 3, episode 5?
I believe so. Waverly Hills.
Waverly Hills. Now, so set us up before the scene, because you sort of had a plan to use a balloon in this room for some reason. So give us the backstory and then tell us what happened.
So like I said, we go into these places and we just kind of make it up as we go. We found this balloon in a hallway and I'm like, oh, let's set it here, because that was one of the stories of Waverly Hills, is that there's a child spirit there that moves balls, balloons, and things like that. I forgot to bring a ball. So we found the balloon. We set it in the hallway.
Hold on one second. And, I'm sorry. I just have to interrupt you. Don't you think it's weird that there was a balloon sitting in a hallway?
No, because this is a very highly investigated location, and I just assume that somebody left it behind.
Okay, great. You're a paranormal investigator, but that seems totally normal to you, that there's a balloon randomly in a hallway in a sanitarium.
Baby dolls in rooms out of nowhere. Wait. Creepy-ass baby dolls. I'm like, oh, okay, so are you possessed, or did somebody bring you for the spirit that's in this room? That's where I'm at in my life now.
Right. Okay, so moving on. Keep going.
Okay, yeah. So we set it up. We put a GoPro on it. We have these GoPros that are set up to work in no-light situations. I believe we said, we're putting this balloon out here for you. Feel free to move it. And I think something else happened, and everybody jetted off to another room. And then we came back and we heard this, what sounded like a balloon scooting on the floor. And then it had our attention. And we looked and it's kind of teetering back and forth like it had moved. So we're like, oh my gosh, maybe it's a spirit playing with this balloon. So let's dress it like that's fact. And we did. And the balloon wouldn't roll on the floor. It wouldn't just, you know, teeter totter. It would scoot on the floor in this hallway where we're standing, where there was no breeze big enough to have scooted that balloon down the hallway. And it was answering our questions. It was doing it on command. And it was, I forgot all about that. That was pretty cool.
It was really cool. It was probably my favorite experiment. There was one point where it sort of, if you're watching this on video, you'll see my hand. It sort of went like right, center, left, center, left, center, right, left. Like it was almost doing a pattern. It was not an easy breezy pendulum sort of movement. It was much more like a jerky. Mm-hmm. It was hard to see the scooting from the camera angle, but I definitely observed, you know, when watching it, that it was not moving in a way that even a breeze, but it was nice to have the knot on the balloon. Cause then I could kind of tell what was going on. But that was very super cool.
I go into every location, not like it's my first time doing it, but like it's the spirit's first time doing it. And I baby them a little bit and I talk them through it. It doesn't always end up in an episode, but every room we step into, I let them know we're here out of love, light, peace, and positivity. We're not here to hurt them, harm them, take them away. We're just here to tell their story. And I introduce every single one of us so they know our names. And then I in turn say, can you tell me your name? Now, does it always happen? No. I don't know if you know this, but Waverly Hills is one of the most haunted locations in the entire country. It was a tuberculosis hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. And this is, you know, that location is goals for everyone. It's hard to get in. It's ridiculously expensive to get it for a night. And we lucked out. I found out the rules. You got to book it early in the year before everybody else gets there and does it. But we had been dying to get in there for ages. And we were on the fourth floor, I believe, which the spirit there that is known as Big Black. It's just a big black shadow figure. And I did the whole deal. I introduced ourselves and I said, and I'm Kitsy. And then the Wonder Box goes, no, you're not. Kitsy is a nickname. And I go, oh, really? And I'm like, well, then what is my name? And it goes, Christina. The only way I can debunk this is my crew, when we're not on camera, they call me Christina or Mom, you know. But it could have been that he heard Clayton say it, or it could have been that maybe these ghosts are in here more than we know. Are they mind readers? I don't know. I'm kind of sort of starting to think so. It scared me though.
So you do get scared?
I get nerved. I try not to show it because I'm afraid if I show the spirits that I'm freaked out, that they're like, oh, let's mess with this chick, you know? Mm. So I put on my mommy face. I whip out the mommy voice when needed and let them know that I'm not messing around and I have no time for their crap.
Does that work when you do that?
It really has for me. I don't know why. I have a resting bitch face and I mean business when that mommy voice comes out. So maybe that's what does it. Or maybe, you know, it's just out of respect. They're like, okay, she's here to respect us. We're going to respect them back.
I wanted to go back to the balloon scene in Waverly Hills, because in that same time that you guys were messing with the balloon and speaking through the balloon, I guess, Carter, who was your son, right?
Yeah.
He had a situation happen to him and it didn't look like a positive one. Like he mentioned he was anxious. He felt like he was going to cry, throw up. I mean, people who haven't seen it, can you set that up a little bit? And then I'd also love to know if there's any more than what wasn't on the show.
Yeah, I'm going to set it up a little earlier than right there. Carter had a really weird experience at a location that wasn't filmed for an investigation. It was a public investigation where people paid a little bit of money and they kind of hung out and investigated with us for a night. And Carter had a really bad experience. He got nauseous. He was projectile vomiting. And like his memory was going in and out. And the guy who ran the location, he's a very good friend of mine, felt that there was a bad entity there and thought that Carter was being possessed. Wow. I put on my mom hat first and foremost. Secondly, I've never seen a possession. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's something people do for attention or what it is. I immediately go, was your Burger King bad that you had for dinner on your way in?
Right.
Carter was freaked out. So mommy mode, I'm trying to calm him down. I'm getting pissed if it is some entity that's trying to possess my child. And mommy, when I walked away from that, while he was out there with my friend, I'm in the house. I said, I don't care what you have against me. That is my child. You let him go now. Because I didn't know what to believe. I didn't. It was very scary for all involved. I still hope and pray that it was Burger King food poisoning. It was really hot and he was dehydrated. I did call a spirit medium friend because I don't know. I said, what happened to Carter that night, like 2 days later? She's like, I really think it was the heat and the food. So I felt much better after that. But Carter, it still sticks with him and I get it.
Of course. Yeah.
So fast forward to like 3 years later, we're in Waverly and he starts to have that feeling again. And he feels like he's sick, he feels nauseous, and that he's going to cry. Now, I will set this up also in saying that if you are sensitive in any shape or form, sometimes you will feel the energies of these entities go through your body and you'll feel what they're feeling. I don't know how it happens, but it does. I will say it has happened to me before. And I feel that Carter's been doing this for so long now and opening himself up to these energies and these entities. I feel like he is starting to feel that himself, but it does freak you out the first couple times it happens. I'm not going to lie. I kind of knew what I was getting into where he's just along for the ride because he wants to spend time with mom. God love that child. He's so wonderful. But yeah. And so it took him out of that hallway. It was not even 20 steps outside on this balcony that's open air, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, just talk to me. Just talk yourself through it like any mom would, no matter what their child was feeling. And it passed. And he's still processing these feelings and what he sees at these locations because he's not in it for the paranormal. So we took him outside, we talked him down, and I think that's what happened is he was feeling the energy of an entity that was communicating with us. And sometimes they reach out to one of us and sometimes they reach out to the other.
Yeah, it looked like he was having a lot of trouble with it. And I'm so glad I asked you because the fact that there was a backstory makes it make more sense that he would have such a reaction because now it's like bringing back memories of this other experience.
Yeah. And he didn't want to end up throwing up off the balcony.
So I'd love to go back into the Wonder Box, the spirit box, because that instrument really intrigues me. I mean, it's cool looking, it's loud. I can hear them saying things too, which makes me less skeptical and more a believer. Yeah. I just am so intrigued by that instrument. So we talked about how they'll say leave, get out, but do you have any other stories or interesting things that have happened with that box just because I think it's so cool?
Actually, probably the most profound evidence we've gotten that was dead on for that location we were at, it was Octagon Hall. It's in Southern Kentucky. And it's ancient. It was a Civil War hospital back in the day. It's just been around and through so much over the years. It's specifically known for a little girl that had passed away in the house. There are slave spirits there as well because it was part of the Underground Railroad. But we were in the room where the little girl allegedly had died. And we were trying to talk to her. Mary Elizabeth was her name. And we were trying to talk to her. And unbeknownst to us, we got an amazing EVP, one of the very few that we've gotten before we even started in there. But we were trying to talk to Mary Elizabeth. And all of a sudden, the app that we use that I was just telling you about that uses all these random syllables and whatnot, and they're able to manipulate that to say what they want to say is we asked what the spirit's name was, and it said Ash in a male voice. And Ashley was also a male's name back in the day. Sometimes it is today as well.
Yeah, especially in the South.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he came over and said that, and we asked him if there's anyone else with him spirit wise in this room with us now. And he said 6 plus an officer.
Oh my.
And yeah, that's a lot of manipulating, first and foremost. Second of all, we had never heard that on that app before. And then we asked what the officer's name was, and then, and it said Nelson, and then it goes Nelson, like within milliseconds of each other. So it was just making sure that we understood that it was Officer Nelson. Now, what his rank was, I don't know. I found out later when the critics on, you know, Amazon Prime are like, now, it's not an officer unless it's a policeman. It's, you'd have to use their rank to address them, which I did not know the rank. I just knew he was an officer. So, and it was amazing because it fit. It fit the time period. Actually, somebody who watched the show on Prime contacted me and gave me the name. I think it was Ashley Nelson was in that area back in the Civil War. So I'm mind blown. I mean, I don't do a whole lot of research on these places. It's more about the activity as opposed to what's history. Slept through it my entire high school career, and it's not my jam. So I just go in and I present the evidence. But when somebody validates it, you know, a year later, once the episode makes it out there and says, look, there was a guy named this in that area back then. I think that's who you spoke to. Holy cow.
Holy cow. I agree with that. Now, you have a podcast as well. Also called Oddity Files. Let's talk about that. That's not the same as the show. What do you guys do on the podcast?
We kind of catch up on all the spookies that's going on in our lives. Sometimes we'll talk about an investigation that we just had without giving away spoilers for the following season. And we'll talk about that kind of stuff. And then we talk about paranormal in the news and anything creepy that's going on. And we find paranormal stories on the internet that we want to know more about, and we want to tell each other more about, and lots of snarky banter as we're going, for sure. But yeah, paranormal can be anything from ghosts to curses to Bigfoot, who is my absolute favorite, not human being, but thing on the planet. He's got this social distancing down, and he's as scared of people as I am, to aliens, UFOs, all the stuff and all the things. And we just kind of write about it and tell each other stories. And then we have listeners, which is one of my favorite parts of the show, write in and tell us their own personal paranormal stories. And that's really, really fun. And it's just called Oddity Files, the podcast. And it's been fun. And we've got a neat little following, and I call them our listeners, our weirdos, hence my shirt. Our saying is weird is the new cool, because, you know, it's boring to be normal.
I love that. I might adopt it. Now, that shirt, is that something that you offer that I could get from your website, or?
Absolutely. It's oddityfiles.com. We post when we put new episodes of the podcast up there, when we release new seasons. We've got merch there as well. And yeah, we recently posted our new teaser for season 3 on there as well. So please go ahead and check out Oddity Files. Reach out to us if you have a paranormal story or you have a question on the paranormal. You can contact us through our email. It's oddityfilescrew@gmail.com. And this was fun, Trista.
Oh my gosh. I've had so much fun talking to you. So definitely, having watched one of your seasons, I would highly recommend everybody check out your show. I will definitely be listening to your podcast, because that sounds super fun. Oh. And I love that it's the people from the show, and I can get to hang out with you guys even more.
Thank you.
Now, to wrap it up, I always like to turn the tables and see if you have one question you'd like to ask me, put me in the hot seat. So do you have a question for me before we wrap up?
So we had all this paranormal talk about me. Uh-huh. What about you? Has anything ever stuck out to you as, oh, it's just weird? Or have you had an experience where it's like, oh yeah, this is absolutely positively paranormal?
Well, okay. In my area, there is a house that is known for having a family live in it where it was a parents and a child, and he was an adult child.
Yeah.
And he was insane. And he would go out and hire prostitutes and sex workers, and then he would take them home, and then he would murder them and store them in the house, their bodies. He lived in with his parents. But okay. The parents were such hoarders that the garbage they never took out or whatever covered the smell of these, you know, decaying bodies. So that happened. And then he went to jail. He actually died in jail a couple years ago. And I was a real estate appraiser. So I appraised the house when I was appraising the house. They had to disclose that the house had had, you know, all this stuff happen.
Murder.
Just a little murder. And well, what was funny was I had my clipboard and my belt on, and I'm all my, you know, appraisal fun stuff. And I'm writing all the notes down, and the realtor's like, this was Kendall Francois' house. And I'm writing the name down. I'm like, oh, please don't let that be the guy that killed all those prostitutes. And of course I looked it up and later that it was. Now I didn't notice anything because I'm not sensitive to stuff like that. And I think it's actually a protection, but so I didn't see anything or feel anything when I was in the house of Kendall Francois, but I'm sure I have to imagine there has to have been stuff in that house. Yeah. Has to have been.
Well, especially as quickly as it was selling over and over again as well. You know, I don't know the rules. I thought there was a rule where you have to admit the house is haunted if you're selling it, but I'm sure not everybody does.
Well, they had to tell me that there was a violent crime committed in the house, I think was the rule. But what's interesting in New York is they only have to do that for 3 or 4 transactions. So this person, when he was going to sell it, he would not have had to disclose it. This was the final transaction. It had to be disclosed.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Yeah. But this guy that bought it, he was so excited to own a house that Kendall Francois had killed a bunch of prostitutes in. Like he was into it.
I'm obsessed with murder and ghosts. So you know, it sounds
so
like
that was
goals.
Really, yeah. I don't know if he'll ever sell it. Cause he was like really, really jazzed.
Good for him.
To be able to own this house. Yeah.
I'd rather buy a house with like a little old lady ghost who actually does dishes after dinner. That kind of thing.
That sounds fun. Very calming to have the dishes being done in the other house. A friend of mine, his grandmother died in the house and they've had some paranormal stuff that they've noticed that they're pretty sure is his grandmother.
Well, you know, she's not going to hurt them.
No, just pots clinking, you know, like she's doing
like, hey,
cooking
I'm
or
here.
whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
So I think we've all experienced something. Maybe we're not willing to admit it, but I do think that there is a thin veil, that there is stuff that goes on. I think everything is energy. So why wouldn't there be that kind of paranormal energy?
Absolutely.
And when I was in 7th grade, or maybe it was 8th, I wrote my main term paper was on whether or not UFOs exist. Ooh. And I will tell you at the end of it, it was inconclusive. I wasn't really willing to absolutely say yes, but I couldn't absolutely say no.
Well, the Pentagon says yes now. So you go. You have your answer.
Conclusive 40 years later or whatever. Awesome. Kitsy, it has been so much fun having you on my podcast.
Anytime, girl. Anytime you want to talk ghosties, I am your girl.
That's awesome. Any final words before we wrap up?
If your listeners are members of Amazon Prime, give us a shot. Check out season 3. Start with season 3. It's when I got my editing groove on. You'll learn to like us a little bit, then go back and check out season 1, season 2. You'll be a little more tolerating of my editing skills at the time. Check out the podcast. I have a podcast called Get Scared TV, where independent authors submit short horror stories and I read them with some creepy music. So if creepy's your vibe, definitely check that out.
Well, I love that we have so many ways we can connect with you through podcasts and your show. I will definitely continue watching. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Great having you.
Thank you so much, Trista. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. Please subscribe to Trista's Plate Story Podcast to get the story behind all those vanity plates driving with you on the road. And if you would like to nominate the owner of a license plate, including you, or visit any of our partners and sponsors, come and see us at platestory.com. That's PL8story.com and give us the details. If you enjoyed this episode, please drop a review and give us a share. I'm Trista Polo, wishing you well on the road to your next adventure.